Hello, today, Ari Schwartz. Ari, sorry.
Corey Castle.
What? Something was wrapped up in my head earlier about, like, this, just like thinking about sometimes people are a big fan of something, and then they think about, like, what their favorite part of that is.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking, you had any examples of, like, your favorite part? If, like, there's, like, a intro to a show you really like, or if there's, like, a favorite joke a comedian does, or anything like that.
That's very interesting, because I'm notorious for, like, actively not choosing favorites, because it depends on, like, what sort of mood. Like, I don't have a favorite food. Like, I love sushi and chicken wings, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, my love for sushi doesn't make me love chicken wings less, and vice versa. So, like, it depends. Or, like, same things with, like, songs and movies. Like, I don't know. I could do, like, I'm better at, like, top threes. But there's very few things where it's like, oh, that's the best part of this one thing. Because, like.
Yeah, I kind of am with you on the same part there. Like,
you know, otherwise, I'll just fucking sit here all day like, well, which one is my favorite? Like,
how am I going to like anything else if I already have a favorite?
Yeah.
Well, I don't truly believe that anything really is in competition with anything else.
That being said, I'll say South Park's my favorite cartoon. Louis C.K. is still probably my favorite comic. Tech N9ne's my favorite rapper. And then I like some other stuff too.
I've only heard Tech N9ne on like Hobson stuff. Like, okay. Listening to Hobson, but I haven't done a deep dive on some Tech N9ne, but
yeah.
Well, one of these days.
Yeah.
But Louis never lost any points with me, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
I see we're in a safe space.
Yeah, Louis never lost any of my points. He never lost any points with me.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm sure he'll sleep better not knowing that.
What's that?
I'm sure he'll rest easy knowing that.
Yeah. He's like, whew.
Yeah, that was a close one.
Huh. I know all those losses that I had.
Yeah, I can't take that out. There's something I'll never recover. How am I going to financially recover from this?
But yeah, I think I honestly, like, right. Well, I think right when there was stuff coming out and people were getting on him. I had on my podcast, so I don't remember how long ago this was. It was a really long time ago. I had somebody on my podcast who was like an influencer in the MMA world, like a MMA fighter influencer.
Yeah.
And he was like, my dad called it from the start that Louis guy was a creep. And I was like, what? So I then, like, stood up for Louis, and I was like, dude, he never promised you he was anything other than what he is.
Yeah.
He made a joke.
God. Your dad's not deaf? Whoa.
Like, what? I yeah, I was like,
the guy talking about baby's dicks is a little weird and making rats come? No way. What? Right.
Everybody's got a kink, and his happens to be that he likes to have people in the room when he jacks it. Like,
there's plenty more fucked up kinks than that.
Way more fucked up kinks than that. And, like, it was like, dude, his comedy is still undeniably great.
Yeah.
There's, you cannot say one thing about any of his jokes, like, that they're not structurally as good as they need to be.
Yeah. Level four.
He's Everest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And Comedy Everest. Who else has gotten canceled that you stuck by?
I don't know about canceled. I am very excited. I do have tickets to see Dave Chappelle in Indianapolis this Wednesday night. Number 13.
I don't think he ever got canceled.
Dave Chappelle. Not canceled, but I'm referring to, like, he's another big role model of mine, and I've never seen him live before. So I'm stoked to see him on Wednesday. And then I'm seeing Tony Hinchcliffe, they tried to cancel him over some Asian shit, I think, at one point. But I'm seeing him on the 16th at Close Memorial Hall in Indianapolis. And that's going to be interesting because I'm wearing my Steel Tony shirt where I intend to steal his show and call it Steel Tony. and I have a shirt with his logo made, and I have a meet and greet. So we'll see if he laughs at it or threatens me with legal action. But either way, it's going to be a an interesting Saturday.
Have you ever done Kill Tony?
I went. I've been a huge fan forever. Mm-hmm. I went to Austin maybe 6 weeks ago to sign up for the show and then also to train at B-Team Jiu-Jitsu, if you're familiar with that spot.
I'm not familiar with
Do you follow Jiu-Jitsu at all or anything like that?
No.
Okay. There's a guy named Craig Jones who runs, you know, one of the most famous, popular, you know, gyms in the world down there. And one of my best friends and training partners moved to Austin to train at this gym. So I'd always like considered going to Austin just to train at this one jiu-jitsu gym before I started comedy. And then fucking Rogan moved and it became the capital of comedy too, in addition to jiu-jitsu. It's like, now it makes twice as much sense for me to be there. Nonetheless, I went to Austin to sign up for Kill Tony. I did not make it. I did not get my name called, but the second night I was there, I was hanging out at Creek in the Cave. Hans Kim was performing, bought him a shot after a set. He invited me to hang out on the patio. So I'm smoking with him, hanging out for like 90 minutes. See him the next night at Shakespeare's, which is the bar next to the Mothership where you sign up and wait for Kill Tony. And I'm talking to him again, hanging out with him and his girlfriend, and a dude that runs a show at the bar next door tried to give Hans a spot. He's like, I got to go. I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And he's like, Hans, is it cool? And they joked around. And the dude put me on the show and bumped me in front of other Austin comics because he thought that I was friends with Hans Kim, who I met the night before. He's like, yo, if you could ever bring Hans in here again, please do. I was like, hey man, I met him yesterday. He's like, I don't care. I've never talked to him before. I was like, whatever, man. Thanks for the spot.
It's like in Night at the Roxbury, where those chicks slept with him because they thought that he was friends with the rich club owner.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we thought you guys were in business with Mr. whatever his name was, Mr. Sadir, and they're like, yeah, we totally will be if we ever see him again in our lives. We'll definitely be in business with him.
Yeah, we'll put in a good word. Yeah. Anything's possible.
It's good company to be in if people just associate your name and on top of that, if you then get a spot because you were standing near somebody who this guy wanted to book and you did good.
Yeah.
You're good. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if
oh yeah.
If like you were friends with him, but then you got out there and you stunk. You walked the room or something. That would be like a whole dog shit scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But also, so,
did you do any other comedy in Austin or just that one?
Yeah, actually, I struck out my first two times. Like, there's obviously like, or maybe not obviously, like, I've only done stand up in a couple cities, but I like anytime I've ever gone up in Chicago or Indy or Bloomington, like, if I show up to a place, I normally like end up with a mic in my hand. But that was the first time it's like, oh, wow, there's considerably more people trying to sign up for every show than there's room for. So my first year I didn't get on, but I was able to get up five times in five different spots. I even helped like host a show there like my third day. It was like my first time helping host ever. And it was just because like a new friend had to take a family phone call. He's like, yo, hold the timer. And then he just didn't come back. And then I just ran the show for the end of it. And people were like, how many fucking hosts are there? I was like, bro, I don't know. Some dude just gave me the light and the phone. So I guess I'm doing it now, but.
Too many hosts.
I went up at Sunset Strip, Red Bands Club, Tiniest Bar in Texas, which is a super dope spot, Creek in the Cave, Shakespeare's, and then this place called Gnar Bar, which is awesome.
I did the Creek in the Cave when it was in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
But I've not been to Dallas. I mean, I've never been to Austin. Yeah.
It was my first time in Texas. It was my first time in Texas for Austin. Yeah. It was dope.
Yeah, I haven't done any comedy in Texas, but
yeah.
My co-host to my old wrestling podcast is now a bartender at the Mothership.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I might have gotten a drink from him.
Yeah. Did he have lots of tattoos and He's a little short, stocky, buff dude.
Maybe. I was in the world's most sober dude. I was kind of celebrating on vacation, but I'll say this. I saw a lot of tattooed buff guys in Austin, so who fucking knows, man?
Right.
Both things like, are kind of jacked and attractive. With yep.
Everybody yep. in Austin, yep. they all gravitated yep. there. Like yep. there was like a beacon up.
Yep.
And Mark, my co-host, he followed the beacon.
Yeah.
It's like every other.
It's like you know, in like Muslim countries, how they like to have like the prayers at like all the hours, and you can hear the shit. Like, you know what I mean? At all?
Say that one more time.
Like in Muslim countries, like when it's like time to pray, like you can hear like
all
the prayer from. It's like in Austin. It's just like every few hours you hear. Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night. Okay, and
all day.
Yeah, I just sorry, knocked over the drum there. Okay, we're all good. Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't have a knocked over drum.
Yeah, I actually already did it. That's why it's fucking broken and doesn't play stable anymore.
Oh, so bro. Yeah,
you're absolutely right. You really hit the drum on the head with that one.
When people do when I make jokes and people do the boom, like people do that all the time. I think that is the most annoying, like, don't real-time heckle me, because if you do, not only am I going to automatically go in my head, this person can't take a joke, and you've lost all of your other credibility with me. As soon as you bloomts me like that, I'm offended. I don't like it. That's... Trigger warning.
I'm about to scratch my head with a pen. Okay.
Do you badoom to people?
I don't. It's not my style. No, I do. I mean, I have probably equally annoying go-to. That's not to say I'm perfect, but that's not my flavor of being an obnoxious asshole.
I kind of feel like saying bloom to somebody when they tell a good joke, when they worked on it and they thought about it real hard. And if like, it's not rewarding wit to say bloom. Like yeah. I feel like that's almost being like, I know you are, but what am I? It's like the same immature. Hello, McFly.
Oh,
it's just kind of bully. It's kind of bully stuff.
It is giving bully behavior.
Mm-hmm. Are you normalizing behavior? That's a microaggression.
Well, some people with Tourette's, they have to boom all the time. It's some people's tick.
Oh, yes, the tick. Yeah,
it's boom tick.
Too ready or not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. This actual room that I'm in right now my friend used to live in here, who actually has Tourette's. So I had a little bit of experience with kind of like understanding the tics a little bit. Like he would do this thing. Like I don't want to like make fun of him or anything, but
yeah,
he would like play with toys. Like he would like play with like action figures, like G.I. Joes.
Uh-huh.
And he would be like, gur, 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 like doing all that stuff, like in the living room. And I feel like while he was doing that once, I said something. And I think it was like he ticked right in the middle of me like saying something or doing something, but it made it felt like he was shaming me. He was like, and he was he was like playing with his G.I. Joes, and I'd said something, and he went like, it almost felt like he was like, my fucking nerd, and I was like, Don't you do that to me. You're playing with G.I. Joes in the living room and you're 24.
Oh,
Duh. I mean, I wish that I got the same joy out of playing with guys that I used to when I was a kid. Remember how you just lose yourself in that?
Sometimes, yeah, but you can find yourself in a, you know, what's lost can be found.
Yeah. Well, you know, like sometimes I'll see, and this is almost like I'm using Sebastian Maniscalco's name of his special. Whenever I see guys do certain things, I'm like, aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you embarrassed? What do you know? Maybe we shouldn't shame so much because.
Yeah. Do you look at yourself in the eyes when you stand in front of a mirror, or you just avoid that whole interaction with yourself because you can't bear the weight of who you are?
Yeah, it's definitely like it's like when the dog's shit in the house and you're like, what do you do? They're like, they don't even look at it.
Yeah.
They make like, every.
Oh, episode. I thought that was you. I wasn't looking at it. I didn't want to make you feel embarrassed. I don't know who put that there.
Would you do?
You fed me that bullshit dried food, and this is what you get.
But yeah, I went down to Wildwood. I went to the beach in Wildwood, and they have like this ultimate frisbee. So much like it takes up the whole beach. There's like a tournament going on, and I saw adult men that were like. Doing all these dances and like elaborate high five situations after they were scoring points in their ultimate frisbee game. And I was like, do you not see yourself? Like, I wonder if somebody took video of you doing that and you saw it, if you'd ever do it again.
Yeah. I think about that actually kind of often, like, I'll have a situation and be like, I'm glad I don't have to watch myself do that via a recording. But at least like to have the recognition that like, yeah, that wasn't a good look is better. At least you have the self-awareness of that, you know, better just not to do things that make you feel that way. But, you know, nobody's perfect. What are you going to do?
I've never danced at a wedding before. Like I'm not a dancer.
Yeah.
Like Carlton dancing.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I don't have rhythm. I'm almost like Steve Martin in The Jerk when he happened. That's me. I'm awkward, weird.
That actually reminds me of like one of my wrestling coaches who always does like the goofiest, but all the dances are like wrestling techniques. It's like I love you, coach, but you know, no wonder. I love you, bud. No, I've never prided myself in my dancing. There's a few things that I'm, you know, not great at. I don't think I'm great at anything. There's a few things I'm okay at, but I will never put dancing on that list.
Yeah,
ever. So I'm with you.
I went to a wedding last week, and it was one of my really good friends, and she was like, I want everybody to come out and dance with us. Like they didn't have any slow songs in the set. It was like just all like upbeat, like dancey songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it just cause I'm here and you're asking. And I knew it was important also to my girl. And she like started pulling me towards it. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just stand here and kind of move a little bit.
Yeah.
And then somebody took video and put it on Instagram and sent me the video. And I was like, oh, that was me.
And that was a dead person floating in the pool.
It's like, yeesh. That really? Seems like I was, it almost seemed like I was pranking myself on that. Like,
hey, yeah, you can establish whatever narrative you want. No, I knew he was filming. That's just no. I was joking like that for this, you know.
Yeah, I was doing it on purpose. I was working you, brother. I was just working you.
It's incidental, not accidental.
Yeah.
What is that fucking? Oh, that's from Training Day, I think. Training Day.
No, there we is go. That was that from Training Day? I love Training Day.
Yeah.
Incidental, not accidental.
Yeah. Yeah, this shit's incidental, not accidental. That and Chestnut Checkers are the only things that I remember from that movie.
Oh, dude, I remember that.
And you know what a train is? I know you like to get wet.
I know you like to get wet. Yeah. When he smoked that, and then they were like went to that guy's house.
We're stopping traffic, and he pulls the gun. Right. Yeah,
they go to that guy's house, and that guy's telling a story about. He's telling a joke about the worm. He's like the worm on the porch that was like, "What are you looking at, motherfucker?" And then he started laughing, and he's like, "That joke wasn't funny." And then he was like, "All about balancing out your laughs and your cries."
Yeah.
That's some of the most important parts I remember. I mean, except for the King Kong stuff, and King Kong ain't got shit on me and all that.
Yeah.
Those famous Training Day lines. Mm-hmm. That's a movie that I think still stands up. I haven't watched it. I haven't rewatched it recently, but I remember it being so good that, you know, like some things don't stand the test of time. Some things don't age very well.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just think that Training Day would stand up.
Yeah. No, 100%. There's nothing worse or like more embarrassing. Actually, that's a lie. There's things that are more embarrassing. But like, I hate when like I'm showing like a girlfriend like, "Oh, I used to love this movie. It's so good. I grew up. It's a great movie. You're going to love it." And then like I put it on for 20 minutes. It's like, "Oh, this is trash. I look like a moron. Nope, this is not how I remember this. This has not stood up."
Oh, yeah.
It violates the trust she has in your judgment on movies. So it's like, next time it's like, "Well, the last thing you put on fucking sucks, so I want to pick." It's like, fuck, that wasn't representative of the things that I really like in this day and age.
Dude, I showed a friend Wayne's World. And I showed an ex-girlfriend, I showed her Wayne's World. And she sat there the whole time and didn't laugh once. And she was like, "Oh, I see why you liked it when you were a kid. Like, I understand why. I get it."
This explains a lot.
I was like, "Yeah, I mean, Wayne's World probably isn't that good now, but it was really good in '92 or whatever."
You know that you said ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, don't question your taste for enjoying Wayne's World. I'm gonna say, at least personally, that still stands up. And I guess that's all I'll say about that. So,
yeah,
quality film.
X for a reason.
Culturally significant. Yes.
Well, I remember in like high school, I sat in the table all alone with one other dude. We were like the Lonely Loser Club, and we would play. What's that?
I haven't heard of that LLC, the Lonely Loser Club. Yeah, just started an LLC. Oh, you started a business. It's not really business.
I love that. We're just part of the Lonely Loser Club.
We should start an LLC called the LLC.
I love it.
A Lonely Loser Club Limited Liability Corporation.
The Lonely Loser Club that we had, we called ourselves the Ugly Club. Like, we were too ugly that no one wanted to. Ugly Club LLC. No one wanted to sit on our table.
No way. That table?
That table? The Lonely Loser Club table?
Wow, calling me surprised. That's
so. We would play Wayne's World trivia pop quiz. What was the name of the donut shop in Wayne's World? And would have to know all these. I could still quote Wayne's World from the front to the back, like pretty easily. There's a few things I could do that with. Sorry, go ahead, bro.
Oh no, I was gonna say, not to ask a gentleman his age, just to gauge the reference. How old are you, my friend?
I am 39 years old.
Excellent. You look younger than that.
Thank you.
Is it Monday?
Today is Monday. Yes.
Oh yeah. How could I forget? No. Okay. Yeah, I'll be 33 a week from today.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're a tad younger than me. Just a slight.
So far away. Close enough.
What other movies did I like grow up on that I know? Biodome. You remember Biodome? Pauly Shore.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I loved that movie. I went to show that to my current girlfriend, and she was like looking at her phone, and she was like, "Yeah, she's like, can we put something else on? Just not into it." And
yeah, I was like, "What? You don't like art? You don't like art?"
It's like, "Viva Los Bios." Nothing.
Yeah, I've gotten a few of those reactions recently.
Dude, she only knew Pauly Shore from being the voice of the dog on the Goofy movie.
That might be the only thing I don't know Pauly Shore from.
The Leaning Tower of Chisa. That old guy.
That's pretty good.
But that's the only thing she knows Pauly Shore. I'm like, well, we're going to have to sit down and watch every Pauly Shore movie. She was. Yeah. You all right?
Oh, I'm great. Yeah, I was just still thinking of Leaning Tower of Chisa, and that just brought me back. Yeah.
Also, jumping into the repressed Goofy movie memories.
Yeah, I guess they're in there somewhere. My fucking uncle used to work for Disney.
Oh yeah. Is that why you're rolling in it, Nepo baby?
I fucking wish, dude. That would be nice. No, I actually rolling in it. I actually quit a job 2 weeks ago. You lose sense of time once you quit a job and stop showing up to an office. But,
bro, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. I got fired via text message 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry or congratulations, whichever it was. If it was a good job, sorry. If it was a bad job, then congrats.
It was a not good job, and it was like.
What was it?
I was doing shipping and receiving at a customer or at a custom embroidery, like t-shirt embroidery place.
Gotcha.
And as soon as the dude texted me that I was fired, I didn't respond and I didn't want to. I wasn't going to sit there and go, "Hey, please give me my, I was like, I felt like he was doing me a favor by texting me and firing me because I don't want to work for somebody who's that much of a like beta cuck bitch that won't like call me. And won't fucking look me in my eyes and say that shit to me. I'm like, you've done me a favor. I already didn't like working for you, and now I know why.
I'm starting to get angry at this guy now.
Well, I mean,
I've had to deal with a lot of those types recently, and it's just left a sour taste in my mouth.
I automatically go like you people like you need to exist so that other people know that good people who aren't like you can exist too. Like the sunshine without the rain kind of thing. Like appreciate the sunshine without having rain day or there.
You can't enjoy the light without the dog. You can't, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As cliche as we can get with it.
It's not. It's yin and yang, you know? You can't.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody can't be fucking superstar fighting comedians like me and you, Corey, you know? You know?
I mean,
not everybody can be as filthy rich, wildly successful, handsome and talented and intimidating and loved and admired by men, women and children as us. But I'm glad that we're out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
good for us.
We're really making some positive change.
Cheers, bro.
Oh man, I don't have my water. I left it in the other room.
Pee in a cup, improvise. Bam. Cheers.
Hell yeah. So what's the things that like inspire you the most? What's the stuff that like made you decide that you were going to be the type of person that you are right now?
Shit. You got any time constraints? What are your time constraints? Yeah. That's a shockingly deep question after the Wayne's World stuff. So that one, I'm actually going to give thought to. I mean, a bunch of stuff. Family experience. I mean, in short, I mean, just like a bunch of random life experiences, some of my biggest influences are like Hunter S. Thompson. I've been, you know, I was exposed to comedy at a young age. I've always loved comedy and satire and, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not, I've always hated like arbitrary bullshit and, I guess a desire to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and, you know, as long as I'm not bothering other people, and it seems like kind of like the one of the very few avenues where you can do that.
Well, I mean, I didn't want it to be as specific as comedy, but I think kind of the way I word it this way, like, we're entertainers. We have a look at me hole. We have a whole gap, a God-sized hole, if you want to say that.
Hey, my hole's pretty tight, bro. My look at me hole ain't that God-sized, okay? I'm fresh meat out here.
But
that look at me hole's for Rivka.
I think.
Did you hear Corey talking about my hole? Look at the timing. You can't write that.
No, that's perfect. It was pinpoint accuracy.
A God-sized look at me hole. What the fuck did he say?
But usually it usually comes from some kind of trauma, some kind of damage.
Yeah, I used to get the shit kicked out of me. So part of it is, I said, don't come in here again. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to get black eye. Everybody give it up for Riff because she's great. Also does jujitsu. I guess a little bit of backstory. I'm from Baltimore originally.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there until I was 8. My dad lost his job a bunch, so I moved from Baltimore to Tampa, Florida when I was 8. Lived in Tampa, Florida for 3 years. Moved to Indianapolis when I was 12 years old. When I graduated from high school, I tried to escape Indiana. I went to Colorado to teach snowboarding. 2 or 3 months into that, I tore my ACL for the first time. Came back to Indiana after taking a ski lift to work every day to not being able to walk back in the place that I tried to escape. Went to school because I had a scholarship to a school in Indiana, which is nice that I had a scholarship, but also like I didn't want to be here doing that. So went up to Lafayette for a couple years, which is where Purdue is, and then transferred to Bloomington, Indiana, 2 hours south, where Indiana University is, where I have been for about the past 12 years.
So you're in Indiana now?
I'm in Bloomington, Indiana, which is a big 10 or 12, however many fucking big schools there are. I'm an hour south of Indianapolis. So I've spent about 4 or 5 years in Indiana, essentially. I was definitely like picked, you know, always like a new kid. So, you know, picked and just like overweight, fat, goth kid growing up. And then got a job at a music venue I always loved as a bouncer when I moved to Bloomington when I was about 21. And then I was in confrontations there. I mean, just like many fights weekly in this college bar. We would have 15-cent beer nights on Wednesdays, and it's like every Wednesday, it's just like, oh, you're getting into a fight on Wednesday. It's like, kids are getting 6 beers for 90 cents, throwing a dime at the bartender, you know, we better lace up our boots. It's a 15-cent beer night. Let's,
what a bad idea. What a terrible idea.
Yeah. And then after that, like, you know, after graduating, after my time as a bouncer, that's when I got into like jujitsu and all of that. It's, right. I really wish I had done that before the whole bouncing career. Cause man, would I have handled about a million things better.
Were you still a goth when you were bouncing?
Oh, yeah, that was like that ended like fucking mid high school or whatever.
Were you like one of the depressing goths? One of the
I don't think so.
Nihilistic.
is that guy the one that we don't want to see in the hallway after recess?
I don't know. You know, like I saw a lot of those when I was in middle school. I saw a lot.
Honestly, listen. So I guess all I'll say is I'd like to think that I wasn't, but I likely was perceived as such if I had to guess. But, you know, I'd like to think that I'm reasonably optimistic. But also, I was probably a way shittier, fucking angrier, grumpier bitch back then because I was a little fucking beta cuck bitch. So, like, but at least I have the strength to fucking admit that now.
Did you miss emo? Did emo pass through you?
Did I miss it?
Did it pass by you? Did you? Yeah.
Like, well, my first concert ever was a Sum 41 show, which is maybe doesn't fall into that, but that's
punkish. Yeah, but
I grew up like music, like when I was like a young kid, like I was super into like Korn and Disturbed. It was like my middle school, early high school, like faves. I actually like rode a roller coaster at Busch Gardens, Tampa with Disturbed because they were in the amusement park for the Family Values Tour. And right after I moved to Indy, I flew back to Tampa to see Korn and Disturbed and like somehow ended up with backstage passes.
Was it the band at the fucking amusement park? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak over you. Can you say that again?
Oh, yeah. So sorry. I basically, when I was like 12 or 13, went to Family Values Tour with Korn and Disturbed. Bumped into Disturb the band at an amusement park the day before, and I was like, I'm here to see them for my birthday. They're like, oh, you're getting backstage passes, and then like they just took me around the amusement park. It was fucking sick.
That's awesome. Yeah. I saw Korn and Disturbed with the Trust Company, I think the name of the band was.
There was one other band, it might have been them. It could have been like, this is probably 2012 or 13.
Oh, this is probably before that. It was called the Pop Sucks Tour.
Oh, okay, yeah. Very up.
Because at the time the big stuff was NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears and stuff. So I guess they wanted to say Pop Sucks.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted to capitalize on the trend that was going on back then with the boy bands, like in wrestling. I wanted to act like I was a boy band reject in pro wrestling because it was like the trend. It was the full trend back then.
Yeah. Just like the South Park finger bang episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. With the parody ring. Yeah, man.
Also, I hope I don't offend you with the smoking. I don't know if the smoking. I don't know what sort of, cats you normally talk to,
No, I'm smelling it. Oh, it smells good. I love it.
It's American Spirit. It keeps your dick hard. It's that Cialis nug. I stole that from my boy, William.
I've never heard of American Spirit doing that.
Yeah, look at that. The mainstream media doesn't want you to find out.
No. I mean, it would go, big Newport and
that's why Viagra and Cialis are trying to lobby against American Spirit because they don't want the pharmaceutical competition. It's a controversial subject.
It's got the same ingredients as Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Which has the same ingredients.
I've actually been using these Blue Chew rolling papers that they've been sending me. It's been fucking a lifesaver.
Really? Want to try it. Doesn't seem as instant though.
Yeah, use promo code RESORRY and get that ribbon off your Blue Chew. Sorry, I guess we'll plug shit at the end. Seriously, the Blue Chew all around us. Or me, whatever, I don't know. All right.
Have you ever used any Blue Chew or any like Viagra, any of
that? Not yet, no. I mean, I'm not opposed. I'm 33. I haven't no, not yet. The day will come, for sure.
I think that it's not as much of a like erectile dysfunction thing for a lot of people. I think it's like a recreational thing for some folks. I personally have never tried.
Let's say perhaps a supplement to counteract other supplements that one might be recreating with. Counterbalance that scale, if you know what I mean.
I guess, yeah.
A little fifth round pick me up, like you said. Yeah, it's a new party drug, but there's worse party drugs. How about you? Are you sober? Do you drink?
No, I smoke weed every day.
Oh, okay, hell yeah, God bless.
I'm a big stoner.
Oh, excellent.
And I don't do any other things. Like I mean, I've done mushrooms and I love them. That's great, but I have not done a whole lot of other drugs. It's not.
I was just curious because I know some people that, you know, fucking just from like me, you know, I spent a lot of time working in bars and venues and around that. So like, I guess, you know, I definitely have a lot of friends. I mean, people would say that I drink too much or quite a bit, but like compared to my friends who are still bartending, it's like, oh, you guys don't know what drinking a lot is. Like, I promise you, I'm, you know, whatever. But like, again, like, you know, I would say it's beyond the Surgeon General's recommendation. But, you know, just like, cause you know, you just never know, whatever, you know, maybe you're whatever, but.
I work at a bar also. I bar back at this bar around here. And, I was there on Wednesday night and the bartender was asking me if I drink. And I was like, I have like a beer or two every couple months.
Yeah.
And not really a real drinker. And she's like, I drink every day.
Yeah.
I couldn't even picture that being in my existence. Somebody who drinks every single day. Like, what would drinking be to you then at that point? It would seem like it would suck the fun away from it.
Let me ask you this, because somebody could say the same thing about smoking weed every day. Like, oh, I smoke weed on a Friday night when I watch a movie, but like, why would I smoke weed every day?
Yeah, but, I guess you're right. You're very right.
I feel like, you know, like, so like, if you're reasonable, like, you know, I like in a perfect world, like I might have a glass of wine with like, if I'm making a nice meal at home, you know, or get back from fucking class or like jujitsu, get back from the gym, like have a beer or like, you know, go like, I was at a music festival in Indianapolis, you know, like, you know, grab a drink, see some music or whatever. But like, it just means that, I'm with you. I'm not getting into a circle where I just rationalize. No, it's fine. It's still special if you drink every day. Don't worry about it. I was going to cut myself off.
Yeah. You're like, well, you know, I'm going to argue on the side of being drunk every day.
Some people have a good reason, Troy. I didn't know. We talked about not shaming.
Quit shaming my... Stop calling my... Quit calling my drinking problem a problem.
Yeah. Oh, you want to hear something funny about drinking problems and people's perception of it? This is actually good, and it came up yesterday, okay? So, my little brother has... This is not the funny part, okay? So, don't laugh at the first sentence. My little brother has brain cancer, okay? The funny part, got diagnosed with brain cancer probably 3 years ago. Okay, my brother lives in Indianapolis, an hour north. My brother is at a mutual friend's wedding, and okay, another friend, Chris Bates, you fucking moron, is going up to my brother, and for whatever reason, Chris Bates thinks that I'm the one with brain cancer, and my brother's the one that has it. So my brother, this dude goes up to my brother who has brain cancer. He's like all somber, like, "Hey, Adam, how's Ari doing?" And Adam is like, "He's fine." He's like, "You mean like his drinking and partying?" And Chris is like, no. And Adam's like, "No, I'm the one with cancer. Ari just fucking drinks a bit too much." And Chris is like, "Fuck, dude, how are you doing? How's your head?" And Adam was like, "What do you mean, how's Ari?" And but like my brother was with brain cancer. His first thought was like, this dude from high school I haven't seen in 10 years is like, "Is Ari okay? I've seen him on the internet acting a little wild. Is anything the matter?" But he thought that was like, bro.
What a perfect miscue. Like that, that would be something on like a sitcom.
It's like calling a fat girl pregnant. Like, how far along are you? Oh, fuck.
When's that baby?
Yeah.
That Brian Regan bit? Yeah. At the zoo. The panda was trying to, they were trying to have a baby. Oh, man. Don't guess at that ever. There's probably tons of examples that are just like that. Like, where it's like, Or, you know, as simple as like, I went to this restaurant with my friend's ex-wife when before they were ever married. And we were sitting at a table and this lady came up behind us, or she came from behind me and she was like, "Hey ladies," because just from seeing me from the back, I look like I got I got lady hair. So, "Hey ladies, what am I going to get you?" And then, "Oh, did you just misgender me?" No, I think this was all pre that speech, that whole.
Yeah, that's funny because I was at a concert yesterday, and I was moving through the crowd, like walking through the crowd with my girlfriend, and I was like, "Excuse me, ma'am," and tapped her light, and a dude turned around, and I was like, "Excuse me, gentlemen, we'll be continuing on our way, my bad, bro. I'll catch you later." He goes, "No, I get it, man. I look like a fucking little lady." All right, bro.
Hey, man.
At least you got a thick neck and broad shoulders. He looked like a very petite ginger princess.
Yeah. At least I got that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this was pre-thick neck, broad shoulders. I don't know. It was a really long time ago. Right. I don't think that I started learning how to lift weights and like work out right and stuff until like 2007 or something like that. So yeah. I was pretty small. Like, yeah. I, you know, when your Facebook memories come up and any of those pictures that ever come up that are older than that, I'm always like, look how little I was. Yeah. I was just a little itty bitty person.
What do you walk around at weight was?
220.
Oh, there. Okay.
Yeah. Is there any conspiracy theories that you buy into hardcore?
Great question. A couple, but they're ones that I just have thought of myself. I don't subscribe to really any known ones, but I have my own internal conspiracy theories.
Have you ever shared them with the world?
I've shared one of them. I could give you two quick cliff notes, but we'll see if you buy into them.
I would love to. I love a good conspiracy theory.
So one. All right, one. I'm going to start with this one. I think that Smirnoff, like the whole icing trend where like you get somebody Smirnoff ice, is the best guerrilla marketing of all time. They were like, "We're not selling any of these." They're like, "Well, let's just start a prank where like if you buy one for somebody, they got to get on their fucking knees and drink it." And they're like, "Fuck it, try it." Because like the only reason I've ever seen somebody buy Smirnoff ice is to ironically give it to a friend. You know, so it's like, did the people at Smirnoff fucking make that up because they weren't selling anything? Okay, that's one shitty conspiracy. And I'll give you the second one. You can pick through either of them if you want. Take that one if you want or leave it. Oh, and then the end of that one is like, I got iced for the first time recently, and I'm glad it happened because I forgot how to list.
I'm not familiar with that trend. I didn't know really? That.
Oh, it's like that. if you surprise somebody with a Smirnoff ice, they're supposed to like take a knee and chug it. It's like a. It's been going on for like probably like 5 to 7 years. You see them like maybe it's a child thing. It might be. Yeah. It might be. Yeah. Okay. Nonetheless, the other one. Are you familiar with apps like Signal?
No.
There's an app called Signal, which is like an encrypted messaging app that, let's say, people that like to have conversations about illegal things use this app because they think this app prevents anybody from reading potentially. Compromising messages.
Oh, and my conspiracy, kind of like Snapchat, how they disappear after 24 hours.
Yeah, but let's think of like Snapchat on steroids.
Okay.
And it's just text communication, not like videos. Okay. But like, you know, so people use it because they think it's a secure way to have conversations without people snooping on your shit. Okay. Or invading your privacy. So my conspiracy theory is like, why didn't the CIA made that app? They're like, "Oh, all the drug dealers are going to use this app." And now we just have like, they're all using this to talk about their illegal shit. We don't have to filter for all that bullshit anymore.
Building evidence against this person.
And marketed it to those people specifically. It's just like, but the whole thing like sounds so sketchy. It's like, no, we only talk about illegal things with this third-party app. Like, this one we can trust. It's like, I don't know, fellas. Maybe if it's that serious, we just don't use a cell phone. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you just...
He says with an arm and watch on... But like also like if you got anything to say, just go stand in the fucking field. Yes. Not that I know any people that would talk about things that they have to go fucking have conversations in a quiet field about, but I guess that's my recommendation if you do.
Yeah, go to a quiet field and talk about illegal stuff. Don't text message about it.
I mean, it's just like simple. Again, it's just simple stuff, you know. You never know.
Are you more concerned with people reading your text messages or listening to your phone conversations?
Probably text messages, because
never talk on the phone anymore.
I mean, rarely, but like nothing about anything. And like, I guess because like I know what I say out of my mouth, but like any random person can text me anything. So like, who knows what crazy person is sending me what crazy bullshit in my phone? That's like, well, like, that's just fucking in there now. You know, like at least like on the phone, I can be like, yo, shut up. I'll talk to you in person. Shut the fuck up. But like over text, I can't be like, hey, unsend that message you already sent. That's already made to me forever now.
Right.
So yeah. I guess the text thing.
I was watching, I got caught in a YouTube deep dive for sure. You know, stuff about UFOs and simulation theory and, about how like the Mayans predicted that the world would end in 2012 and maybe it did. And we're just in a simulation where we're all dead. But our brains are still creating the narrative that life is continued on.
I'm sorry, did you say YouTube deep dive or the first Matrix movie?
YouTube.
The Matrix movie came out in 2001. I just saw the Matrix though, and like everybody's just like, you know, yeah, plugged up. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think that's what it's basically saying.
It's, that'd be a huge relief. I could start taking a lot of things less seriously.
Yeah, man. It almost makes so much sense. Like, I don't know. Do you believe in any like ghosts or anything like that?
That's so funny. All right. My first question, when you say anything like that, do you mean like any other supernatural force sort of thing? Yeah,
paranormal.
I guess I would say there might be certain paranormal phenomena that I might entertain having occurred, but I would say that I don't believe in ghosts in the traditional common sense of or like some dude fucking getting murdered in my crawl space and now he fucking haunts the joint and, you know, hides my Apple TV remote and whatever else, keeps turning my thermostat up or whatever, whoever fucking is doing that.
I had a joke about I think my house is haunted by my dead grandmother, but I don't think she like does anything except for leave the front door open all the time. She just opens the front door and I come down and I slam the door and I said to her, in or out, we can't afford to air condition the entire neighborhood. Because that's what she used to always yell at me and slam the door. I have no other evidence that I'm being haunted by her, but I feel like it's necessary for me to scream that when the door's left open.
Yeah, you know, that's she just want to make sure you learn the lesson.
Yeah, I was thinking of this, and I was talking to my brother about it the other day. As this year started, from you know January to March, I worked every single day at a job at a cemetery. I worked every day at the cemetery. So like into the night every day for 3 months, and I never had any ghost things, or I never like talked to somebody who said that they saw anything. None of the people that I worked with ever said that like there was hauntings or any of that. But, and I was like, well, maybe they just knew that I was new. They didn't want to be like, hey, I know you're brand new, but want to hear a ghost story? Welcome to the cemetery business. Want to hear a ghost story? Nope.
I hope it's a big titty Latina ghost that gives everybody nice blowjobs and leaves.
Well, you know, that would be nice.
Scary. No, it's a good story with a happy ending. They're not all bad.
I mean, I'd imagine you might not be able to get an STD from a ghost.
Or maybe you get scary ghost STDs that never go away. They just haunt you forever. They chase you to the afterlife. Who fucking knows? Fuck, I got fucking... The herpes came with me. That fucking bitch. Luetta.
Who would have ever thought?
And then you get her pregnant and you have a half ghost, half human baby. It's a nightmare. I've been down that road before. Fucking not again.
Yeah, seen it 100 times.
Hey.
So just a couple quick things, and I'll send you off into the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake.
Damn, bro, hot dogs too. That's amazing.
So, oh, geez, do you hear that?
I did.
There's a domestic. There's a domestic dispute going on in my neighborhood. Whew. All right. Well, now that's on the record.
Now, does anybody need assistance?
If any police need any evidence, they can point to episode 308 of Evolving with Corey Castle.
Hell yeah.
But I love everything kind of being on the record. That's why I love this show. When I was first starting it, I remember my mom had burned a CD that had like voicemails on it that were from her mom and from her best friend who had passed. And she said that the reason she did that was because she said, you know how like when people die, you kind of forget what their voice sounds like? And I remember being like, we're in an age now where we don't need that to be the case anymore. So I want a lot of things to kind of be on the record. That being said, like I've had interviews with a few friends on here. I've had a couple conversations with friends here, and I've said some on the record things with them, and they've since passed away. And it brings me joy to think about how like that now exists on the record for their kids to listen to one day when they come across it or anything like that. I and it really helped me when it came to like grieving, to like listen back or re-release those episodes to kind of like show what kind of soul this person was.
100%. I'm sorry for, you know, your losses and everything like that. My dad died.
Sunshine without the rain kind of thing.
Yeah. My dad died 3 years ago, like all suddenly, just like dropped dead of a heart attack in his favorite wine store, you know, talked to him like the night before sort of thing.
Wow.
And that's a long story, but the point is, like, before that, one of the last times I saw him, he was still living in Baltimore. I was in Bloomington. My brother was living in Denver. But at one point, I flew from Indy to Baltimore. My brother flew from Denver, and we went to go see my dad for something. And whatever, this can be on the fucking record. He's dead. Actually, my brother's not, so that... okay, we'll skip that part because me and my brother are alive, so okay, you know, I don't have to worry about my dad getting into trouble, but some of us can.
Might not be a statute of it's only maybe when it gets to 7 years, we could tell that story.
Let's say, all right, I'm gonna take that fuck it back, okay, rewind. So, let's just say that like a mild inconvenience happened when we landed in Baltimore, okay, mm-hmm. It wasn't the end of the world. But it was a bummer, okay? Like, we're all adults. Life goes on. It's all bummer. But, like, my dad was being hilarious about the situation. And, like, he was pissed off because at the end of the day, there was a moral injustice that was that had happened. Actually, circling back, you asked me at the very beginning one of the reasons why I'm the way I am. My dad's a huge part of that, too, beyond all the other fucking influences, okay? But my dad was pissed off because something happened that was fucking wrong. Essentially, something got stolen from us, okay? Doesn't matter what it was, but the fact of the matter is, like, we're all adults and fucking, you know, theft isn't cool. So my dad's pissed off, and I took a voice recording of him bitching about us losing this thing, and it's just him ranting in the car, picking us up from the airport. He goes, it's not fucking right, blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny. And me and my brother are cracking up. And it's like one of the only recordings I have of his voice. And I just recorded it because I thought it was funny at the time. But like, you know, after he passed, I totally forgot. And then I was just looking through like comic, like bit recordings and notes. And I was like, fuck, I forgot about this whole fucking Nail debacle recording. And it's like the coolest thing to like have that and listen to it and shit. So like, same thing, like just preserving history. You know, I worked for 8 years at an audio video film archiving company, which is all about recording and digitizing, preserving degrading physical media. So cultural heritage is not lost forever and yada, yada, yada. But yes, that's a long way of saying, yeah, it's fucking important. And it is very cathartic and fucking, you know, nice to be able to go back and hear voices, see faces and all that.
Well, I kind of say all that to say that I want to make sure I say to you while we're on the record, how I really appreciate all the currency of your effort, dude, and your time is so... It's so incredibly appreciated. I'm not like this day and age to be able to pay attention to anything for more than 7 seconds is pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So I love that and I appreciate that. And I want to say, you're a funny guy. You're a good guy. You're a good, I'm looking forward to what the next things in our, like, this is the first long conversation we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to future stuff. Like if you ever want or need any kind of resource for anything that you think I might be able to help you out with, don't ever hesitate to text me. Don't ever hesitate to call me.
This room that I'm in right now, it looks like shit because this is going to be my podcast room. So I'll let you know, maybe you'll be one of the first guests on my podcast studio once I get this painted and I get my tapestries hung up so I can cover up my mess.
All right.
But also, just on that last note, I'm super grateful you reached out to invite me. I'm like thrilled to be, you know, to be on the show. And yeah, I also enjoyed the conversation. It's been great. Great meeting you. I'm happy you reached out. I feel like a dick because a few times I looked down at my phone, but like I said, there were some, pretty unusual urgent things going on this morning that I wouldn't glance down if it wasn't a potential like I gotta get the fuck out of here because
I wasn't keeping track.
I was like I don't look down but like I gotta make sure I
don't worry about it man.
Yeah. Again I completely all, emergencies only. I'm not swiping right or left. I've got a you know good thing going here. But
Was there any questions that you wanted to ask me?
A bunch, but maybe we save them for the next episode or something.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, while, I mean, a million.
While we're here for our first one, for the history books, this is your on the record question.
Yeah.
What do you want to ask me?
Fuck. Why do you do what you do?
Why do I do what I do?
Yes.
Because nobody else does what I do. I'm the only one. I'm the only one who does all the things that I do. And I'm very proud of that. I would want to make sure.
What? Sorry, I did not interrupt. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me hear you finish. Because I like where you're going. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, what, when you say, like, no, like, what, I mean, like not, okay, then, like, why, what is it about what you're doing that nobody else does that you think needs to be done so that you're so invested in doing it? So, for example, like, maybe nobody does fucking backflips on unicycles while jerking off elephants, but like maybe that doesn't need to happen. You know what I mean? And that's not
that would go viral. That would go viral.
Sure. And like I know a dude that built the tallest bike in the world because there wasn't the tallest bike. It's called Stupid Tall. So, but like I get, but like also like when you put that much dedication behind something, there's a belief in what you're doing beyond the fact that like you know, nobody's doing it in your flavor, your way or whatever. So just like you asked me, like, why am I the way I am or whatever, like,
right.
what's, you know, like, not to be like, oh, what's your why? But like, you know, like what, what's, you know, like your, the dream outcome, if there is one, or is it just about like, you love how you're living and it's more the process and the journey thing and not the destination, or like what, I guess you get it.
I think I really believe that I want to lend the world the availability to lift its limits.
Awesome.
I don't, that's yes. kind of, that's kind of it. I want to,
beautiful. I like that. Help people realize their potential.
Right. Yes. Help people realize their potential.
Show somebody that they can carry boats and logs.
And they can do backflips on a unicycle while
if they want, and whatever else they can see themselves doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're goddamn right.
The only limits that you have are the ones you put on yourself.
Ain't nobody.
I believe that everybody gets exactly what they believe that they deserve.
Yep, you ain't nobody fucking with you but you.
Sometimes the stuff that you're obsessing over, sometimes the stuff that you're like, oh, that was a real bad mistake I made. You're the only one who remembers that. Nobody else in the world remembers that mistake, and you're the one beating you up for it. Yeah. So, like, let it go. Put it down.
Yeah. Forgive yourself. Move on.
Forgive yourself.
Yeah. Forgive yourself at the right time. Sometimes people fuck up, and it's like, maybe I should reflect on that for a little bit, you know? But after due time, don't dwell on it, you know? Give yourself the right amount of reset time, and then move the fuck on, you know?
What's a question that you've never been asked that you've wanted to be asked?
Fuck, that's maybe that one. I think you just said it, bro. You just answered your own question with your own question. That's fucking, what if my head just exploded and that was the end of the show? Honestly, that I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that, and I don't know if I ever would have thought of it, but that's a fucking real good one that really did answer itself. Fuck.
It was inception of questions. A question.
I mean, honestly, nothing real other than like, hey, Ari, would you be upset if I gave you $100 million? Like, no, actually, that would be quite okay with me. Like, nobody's ever asked me that. I really hope somebody does, and soon. I need it. But hey, Ari, here's medical treatment you can't afford. Hey, Ari, here's a cure for your brother's brain. You want to know how to solve brain cancer? Fuck yeah, I do. Give me that secret, baby. Yeah, I don't know. That's another one of the questions that would just like have me sitting here for like 6 to 8 more hours. So I'm just going to go with your answer. I really like that one.
So the way we wrap up episodes is normally I'll tell you, I've hypothetically gifted you this show. This is now the first episode of your brand new podcast called Evolving with Ari,
uh-huh.
Right? You're going to, in a very Jerry Springer's final thought type of way, grab like the best takeaways from this last hour and wrap them into a pretty little bow and send the people home inspired to be a better version of themselves.
Okay, very simple request. There should be no trouble at all.
Very simple.
Can I read something instead?
You can absolutely read something, yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can. Let's see. Okay. All right, let's get this set up so it's not all stupid. Bam, there you are, Corey. All right, let's get to, okay. All right, so this is on April of 1958, Hunter S. Thompson was 22 years old when he wrote this letter to his friend, Hume Logan, in response to a request for life advice. Somebody asks, a 22-year-old Hunter S. Thompson, for life advice, okay? Dear Hume, you ask advice. Ah, what a very human and very dangerous thing to do. For to give advice to a man who asks what to do with his life implies something very close to egomania. To presume to point a man to the right and ultimate goal, to point with a trembling finger in the right direction, is something only a fool would take upon himself. I am not a fool, but I respect your sincerity in asking my advice. I ask you, though, in listening to what I say, to remember that all advice can only be a product of the man who gives it. What is truth to one may be disaster to another. I do not see life through your eyes, nor you through mine. If I were to attempt to give you specific advice, it would be too much like the blind leading the blind. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms against a sea of troubles. Shakespeare. So let me say this. Growing up, I never liked Shakespeare in high school. It wasn't until I heard Hunter S. Thompson explain Shakespeare that I really understood the fucking most famous line, to be or not to be. I never understood it. And in, so I'm going to repeat that. To be or not to be. Now we're getting into Shakespeare. That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms against a sea of troubles, to limit yourself or to not, Corey. And indeed, that is the question. Whether to float with the tide or to swim for a goal, it is a choice we must all make consciously or unconsciously at one time in our lives. So few people understand this, Corey. I know you and I do. Think of any decision you've ever made which had a bearing on your future, okay? I may be wrong, but I don't see how it could have been anything but a choice, however indirect, between the two things I've mentioned. The floating or the swimming. But why float if you have no goal? That's another question. It is unquestionably better to enjoy the floating than to swim in uncertainty. So how does a man find a goal? Not a castle in the stars, but a real intangible thing. How can a man be sure he's not after the big rock candy mountain, the enticing sugar candy goal that has little taste and no substance? The answer, and in a sense, the tragedy of life, is that we seek to understand the goal and not the man. We set up a goal which demands of us certain things, and we do these things. We adjust the demands of a concept which cannot be valid. When you were young, let us say you wanted to be a fireman. I feel reasonably safe in saying that you no longer want to be a fireman. Why? Because your perspective has changed. It's not the fireman who has changed, but you. Every man is the sum total of his reactions to experience, and your experiences differ and multiply. You become a different man, and hence your perspective changes. This goes on and on. Every reaction is a learning process. Every significant experience alters your perspective. So it would seem foolish, would it not, to adjust our lives to the demands of a goal we see from a different angle every day? How could we ever hope to accomplish anything other than galloping neurosis? Wrapping this up. The answer then must not deal with goals at all, or not with tangible goals anyway. It would take reams of paper to develop this subject to fulfillment. God only knows how many books have been written on the meaning of man and that sort of thing. And God only knows how many people have pondered the subject. I use the term God only knows purely as an expression. There's very little sense in me trying to give it up to you in the proverbial nutshell, because I'm the first to admit my absolute lack of qualifications for reducing the meaning of life to one or two paragraphs. I'm going to steer clear of the word existentialism, but you might keep it in mind as a key of sorts. You might also try something called Being and Nothing by Jean-Paul. No, I'm not going to butcher that philosopher's name. And another little thing called existentialism from Dostoevsky to, again, not going to fuck it up. Sorry to all my philosophy teachers. These are merely suggestions. If you're genuinely satisfied with what you are and what you're doing, then give those books a wide berth. Let sleeping dogs lie. But back to the answer. As I said, to put our faith in tangible goals would seem to be, at best, unwise. So we do not strive to be firemen. We do not strive to be bankers, nor policemen, nor doctors. We strive to be ourselves, but don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that we can't be firemen, bankers, or doctors, but we must make the goal conform to the individual rather than make the individual conform to the goal. In every man, heredity and environment have combined to produce a creature of certain abilities and desires, including a deeply ingrained need to function in such a way that his life will be meaningful. A man has to be something, he has to matter. Last bit. Actually, we're going to skip that. Okay, here we go. Here we go. All right. Let's assume, you with me, Corey? You said I get to wrap it up. And if it was my show. Last paragraph, we're done. And then we'll say our goodbyes. Let's assume that you think you have a choice of 8 paths to follow, all predefined paths, of course. And let's assume that you can't see any real purpose in any of the 8. Then here's the essence of all I've said. And you're finding a new way to do things because nobody's doing what you're doing, Corey. you must find a ninth path. Naturally, it isn't as easy as it sounds. You know that you've lived a relatively narrow life, a vertical rather than horizontal existence. So it isn't any too difficult to understand why you seem to feel the way you do. But a man who procrastinates in his choosing will inevitably have his choice made for him by circumstance. So if now you number yourself among the disenchanted, then you have no choice but to accept things as they are or to seriously seek something else. But beware of looking for goals. Look for a way of life. This is what I'll say to your people. Look for a way of life. Look for lifestyle design. Decide how you want to live and then see what you can do to make a living within that way of life. But you say, I don't know where to look. I don't know what to look for. And there's the crux. Is it worth giving up what I have to look for something better? I don't know. Is it? Who can make that decision but you? But even by deciding to look, you go a long way toward making the choice. If I don't call this to a halt, I'm going to find myself writing a book. I hope it's not as confusing as it looks at first glance. Keep in mind, of course, that this is my way of looking at things. I happen to think it's pretty generally applicable, but you may not. If any part of it doesn't make sense, by all means, call it to my attention. I'm not trying to send you out on the road in search of Valhalla, but merely pointing out that it is not necessary to accept the choice that's handed down to you by life as you know it. There is more to it than that. No one has to do something he doesn't want to do for the rest of his or her life. But then again, if that's what you wind up doing, by all means, convince yourself that you had to do it. You'll have lots of company. And that's it for now. Until I hear from you again, I remain your friend, Hunter.
I love it. It's perfect. Thanks. I love it because it was a little bit of like, it's a little bit of consider the source mixed with like, set some goals.
And bro, that's fucking deeper than when I was running when I was 22. I'll tell you that much right now.
Yeah. When I was 22, I was a real dingbat back then.
A real head scratcher on the
version of me when I was 22. But for sure, I just like constantly becoming a different version of me. So now I'm the version of me who knows what that letter says that Hunter S. Thompson wrote to that guy.
Yeah.
Oh man. Do you do any impressions?
I used to do an impression of William Montgomery when I was bartending, but it's William Montgomery and his cocaine and heavy drinking years that is only very specific to people that watch Kill Tony. And it's not even a good impression. So the short answer is no, but just a shitty William Montgomery impression.
Right.
How about yourself?
I don't know.
You don't know if you do them or you don't know. Everybody tells me I do a Cosby impression, but I don't think I ever have. It's like, but they keep saying it's uncanny.
Yeah, I've been told I do a pretty good Kermit the Frog, and I've been told I do a pretty good Undertaker.
Oh, but, I have a friend that has a nasty fucking Gilbert Gottfried impression.
Oh yeah, me too, man. That's my best friend kills it with the Gilbert Gottfried impression.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So normally what I say is in whatever your best impression is, you could say the way we wrap it up, say be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
Sorry. What? Be fun, have safe, keep it balling.
Keep evolving.
Oh, keep evolving. I think you said keep it balling. I was like,
Keep it balling too. You keep it balling.
Balling and evolving, baby.
Keep it balling and evolving.
Yeah. Did you say be fun, have safe, keep evolving?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not as sleep deprived as I thought. I'm in fact still listening correctly. Okay. Let me ask you one last question. How long have you been doing the drum thing and where did that originate?
The drum thing? I started doing it on the show. I started doing it on the podcast.
Was that inspired by anything in particular?
It was inspired by, do you know who Pete Holmes is? Who Pete Holmes is. He told the story when he had that late night talk show that came on after Conan.
Uh-huh.
he told a story where Conan was like, you know, you have like your little triangle, like the little percussion instrument, the triangle. He's like, you keep dinging that triangle. Eventually someone's going to be like, hear that dinging? You hear that dinging? And I was like, I thought that I would take that and apply that to a drum because the drum represents consistency. So to me now, I bring the drum with me to the ring before all my matches. It's sacred to me. It's got its own sort of like heartbeat to it, and I make it like it's ceremonial to me.
Yes,
it's,
that's awesome.
It's something that I need to do for my spirit.
Heard. Love it.
Well, I hope you had a good time doing this, and I can't wait to do it again. I hope we can, we can get back on this when you start doing your podcast too.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any name ideas for it?
It'll probably be the Ari Sari podcast, which is like kind of like the name I have for everything right now. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be the Ari Sari podcast. Mm-hmm. Likely that.
Nice. I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, dude. I'll be sure to reach out and let you know.
All right. You want to throw that Be Fun at me?
That what?
Be Fun, Have Safe line?
Be Fun, Have Safe, Keep Evolving.
Keep balling.
Yeah, keep balling, baby. Be safe. Take care of each other, everybody. Thank you, Corey.
Everybody who's checked this out, if this is your first time checking out Evolving with Corey Castle, make sure to hit subscribe. If you want to jump back to the archives and check out all the 307 other episodes of the show that I have, maybe you'll follow my growth. It's called Evolving with Corey Castle, not just because that's my name. It's because the person I was when I started this has evolved since the beginning. And I hope you can see it. And I hope that you are inspired to do the same thing. And, you know, if you ever feel like you have nobody to talk to and you have no friends, my DMs are wide open. I'll chat with you. I'm a real dude. Don't ever feel like you're alone with no judgment-free conversation. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to everybody you know. Hug your friends. Tell them you love them. Be fun. Have safe. Keep evolving.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Corey. Beautiful.
Show's over.